Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. I wonder if you ever tried to tell anybody anything much about the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps this has become a rare thing these days. And indeed, I think I was 31 years old when I first heard really who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what he'd done. That I was to trust upon his death on the cross as the full offering of the spotless Lamb of God as a sacrifice for all my sins. And I truly believed then. But until then I hadn't heard. Now, I heard one or two things, but not clearly. And I want to put it to you today that there is indeed somewhat of a crisis. There's much talk about religion. I see there's a program people have on Sunday mornings, and they're talking about should different people of different religions marry. And the problem is there's no Christians there because they're a church, so it's futile. But these things are discussed and debated. But what we need to hear is the simple, plain words of God about Jesus Christ. And there's only so many churches, and the ministers only have so much time, so the people need to all be speaking about Jesus Christ. Well, if you knew someone amazing, if you just met some celebrity, perhaps whoever's won the tennis championship had come in here today and said good morning to all, you'd probably be telling everyone about it all week, or maybe all year. Well, how much more should we be telling people about Jesus Christ? Now, there's a problem, and we are not sure why it is that we can be in church, we can sing and speak about Jesus Christ quite happily and joyfully, and yet when outside the church, our tongue perhaps seems somewhat tied. Well, it shouldn't be so. In our land, there should be, people should know that there's a God, and the true God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that all are accountable to him, and all they are commanded to repent of their sins, put their trust in the Saviour. This is our Christian and Protestant privilege that we live in such a place. And yet, there is needed today a true rekindling of the Word of God in public. Yes, it's vital that we have sermons in churches, but we also need to be out. We were able last Monday to go out with some friends visiting. We went into Mitcham, and we were able to preach, and people were able to listen to what we were saying. We were able to talk to people quite freely about Jesus Christ. The same morning, there was a man in Wimbledon. He got stopped and arrested because he was saying that there was much immorality in our country. I think he was released after quite a few hours of being questioned by someone that was accusing him. Anyway, we need also to speak one-to-one. I want to speak today of this being a duty of all of us. Each one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed of him, but to speak up about him. And this is what we call personal witness. This is a duty. There is a duty. There is something about what to do. And then many hindrances. I have 10, and we'll deal with some of them this morning and hopefully complete it this evening. There is then a challenge and a reward. So the difficulty mainly is to overcome the hindrances. But firstly, just a few points on this duty again. And it's not merely something for a few people to do who have been enthusiastic. We're to love our neighbours, which means, if you're a Christian, that you desire the best for them. If you love someone, you want the best for them. You care about them, and of course that is that they will be saved. They will turn to Christ, cry out to Him to have mercy on them, and trust in His sacrifice of Himself on the cross, His blood shed in their place for their sins. Then, of course, we're told in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. And that we don't kill means that we do all the opposite that makes life good and well. And that, again, means that we should lead people into turning to Jesus Christ for everlasting life. Because it's all God's work. We'll talk about that perhaps a bit. But we are involved in this. We mustn't be like Cain. Do you remember Cain when he killed his brother Abel? And he came out with this saying, am I my brother's keeper? Well, obviously we can't be, some people have got to keep themselves to some extent, but yes, there is an extent to which we are our brother's keeper. As we look out for people, we're concerned about someone who's a bit unwell, we check that they're alright, as much as we're able to, then we should care for their souls also. We are our brother's keeper in that way. So there is a definite duty that we must be concerned and also therefore speaking to others about Jesus Christ. It should be quite natural really, but it is a duty. But a little on the way of this, well, we simply really need to speak to people. And I'll only say this briefly, there could be quite a lot of questions perhaps on the subject of what do you say and when and how, is to speak about Jesus in such a way that we can persuade people to put their trust in Him. A bit like I do in preaching here. So Jesus Christ is good. He won't let you down. You know, your sins have separated you from God, like all of us have. We're all the same, whether it's one sin or another sin. It doesn't really make a huge amount of difference which sin it is. It's all before God, and God is angry with sin and sinners, and He won't have them with Him in heaven. But Jesus Christ, we are to persuade people that they can trust Him and turn to call it Lord and believe that He's sufficiently able to save them, as I seek to persuade people here week by week. And then they're, as it were, to confess to Him that they need Him, to hate their sinfulness. All these Ten Commandments we read out at the beginning, all the ways we fail in keeping of these commandments, whether it's in speech or in our hearts, as well as in the actions themselves. And as I said, that we should be doing all the good things that are the opposite of the things that are prohibited. So they're very broad. The commandments have got a very broad. It sums it up, doesn't it? That love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbour as yourself. Whoa! Everyone will say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. But the question is, have you been that good, you see? If you haven't been that good, then you've sinned against God. And we're not fit for His heaven. When judgment comes, if we've failed in one small matter, it counts as a complete failure. Just as when Adam and Eve picked that one fruit, they disobeyed God, you see? That's the sinful heart. And it's not the heart fit for heaven. But in Jesus Christ, we have the Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Saviour. So we can trust Him, absolutely trust Him. And in there, we have, that is the essence of faith, really. It's not just to believe something about, but to go and trust Him, to turn to Him, and to really find that He is good, as He said. Now, we need help in this. We meet together for prayer, and we meet together on the Lord's Day here, and we encourage each other. This should be the day where you people use the word getting fed in church with the bread of life, and that you go out thinking, yes, that's it, now I really want to not only love God and to do the things which are right for Him, but that includes praying that He will enable me to use this short life to speak to other people of something of Jesus Christ, that they may have everlasting life. It's not just for us, it's fine. Oh, I've got everlasting life, I'm all right, Jack. Well, that's not to be our attitude. We're to seek others. This is what God uses. Now, to the hindrances, or you might call them excuses, but they're very real and need to be taken seriously. So, some would say, God doesn't need me, I'm nobody, I can't do very much. Isn't God able to save people Himself? He saved me, I'm not sure who else was involved, but maybe if you look back, when you trusted Christ, you were taken to church, someone talked to you, someone encouraged you, like we do here, to know that Jesus Christ is good enough, absolutely good enough for you to trust and you to turn to from your sins and to find peace with God through Him alone. Well, does God need us in this? Well, slightly witty way of putting it perhaps, one man called Ray Comfort, he goes around preaching and encouraging people to speak to others about Christ. He said, a church that is waiting for sinners to visit their building is like the police waiting for criminals to visit their station. Yes, every now and again we hear someone handing themselves in, but this is the exception. Most people don't just turn up at church and say, I'd like to know the way to heaven, could you help me? They need people to go out there and to talk to them. Out there, in here. We don't have to go very far, do we? You probably have a neighbour who only lives a few feet away, a few yards away from you, who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, indeed, ordinary people have this amazing job to do. We're told in Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? You say, well, you might not be a preacher, but Jesus prayed, John 17, for them which shall believe on me through their word. So there's encouragement here. Jesus has prayed for people to believe on Him through others speaking about Him. Well, that's quite a help, isn't it? If we think when we're speaking to people about Jesus, Jesus is praying for what we're saying, that it would work. And that some of them, not all of them, a lot of people, you just can't persuade some people. They're absolutely set. And you have to leave it with God, and we pray for them, don't we? We can pray for people who we are close to, who are rebellious before God. But God uses these human means for people to hear. But this brings us to the second point. Doesn't the church have ministers like me, who are evangelists, who go out? Well, we go out to open air preaching from time to time. We try, maybe I'm a bit more experienced, to try to talk to people. And you know, don't you think that would be the way? Well, of course, a minister should preach, and he should be doing these things as well. But all of us, the church is a body, many parts in the body, in this great commission, Jesus called the Great Commission, to go into the world. And sadly, you won't find people like us or other ministers very often on the television or the radio or in the newspaper. So a lot of people are not going to hear. So a lot of people won't really hear. But the individual who's become a friend or friendly with people, got to know people, they get to know you, they can see you, they think, well, what is it? How does this person live? How do they manage? Isn't it wonderful that God is keeping them, because if I was in their state, how would I cope, etc., etc. And the church is made up of these thousands of individuals. One man once said, We want to tell everyone about our church. Should we start an advertising campaign? I said, no. You've got lots and lots of people. You don't need an advertising campaign because you've got all the people all speaking to other people. Even a few of us here. If there's a few people we know between us, we're speaking to lots of people. And there's lots of churches who should be doing this. And people hearing a little bit here, a little bit there. Someone says something to them. Referring to Jesus Christ. Someone else says something else. Someone says something about their religion. We can say, well, I don't know what you're doing. You know, the truth is that we're sinners. And it's only Jesus Christ that can save us. Someone's got some reason or another. I know we would talk about this another time. Some of the things we can talk to people about. So just because there's preaching from the church here, I should be inspiring you to speak to others as well. It can't all be done by one person. The work of the church has got a whole body of people, little bits all joined together we are, in an amazing way by God's grace to do this work. Of course, people in the church might say, well, look, I've got somebody, I want to try and talk to them, I'm finding it difficult. You can say, well, to the minister, would you come with me? Can we go together? Can we talk to someone? I want to arrange a meeting with a friend. I said, tell them about, they've been asking me a few questions, I'm a bit stuck. Maybe I can come with you and we can talk with them together, or you can encourage me in other ways. Now, so there, you know, this excuse that it's all down to the minister is not a good one. You've all got special places and parts to play in this work. Now, a lot of people would just say, well, they're too busy. And here we really have a poor excuse. We can all be busy. Even maybe we're not working full time, but there lots of things take up our time. And you may think, well, I'm asking you to do something that you just couldn't work out how to do it. Maybe it's not that you're too busy, but you just can't get there somehow. You can't get out to do things. But I'm not speaking about having to do extra things so much as just the day-to-day things of the people who we would be in contact with. There are some who will go out of their way and they can find more people to talk to. You may not be able to get that far, but there's day-to-day. Some of the staff here, you can speak to them. You're not inhibited to speak to them in any way you like. You're not rude, of course. You must be rude to people. You're quite free to speak about what you believe. You don't have to hide that. That's to be respected. That people have freedom of belief, and we can express that towards others, and for their good. So we don't have to be too busy. There's an interesting case in the Old Testament where the people taught their children. And some of it must have been formally done. But it also reminds them when they get up, when they lie down, when they sit down, when they walk in the way. They were to be speaking of the things and reminding them of what had happened and what God had done, what God has promised, what God will do. And we can speak naturally in our lives about God giving us a new day, God giving us a hope in our hearts, and how this all fits in with what it's required of us, that one day we've got to meet God, that we're ready. This is good to be ready because we have trusted in Jesus Christ, and we might ask someone, are you ready? Simply, it doesn't take extra time. We're not saying we're going to have a long meeting. By all means, get together and pray together. If you have opportunities, pray together. Arrange for other people to come together to pray. But we need not take up too much extra time. We aren't to be like those who Jesus described, who compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when they do, they make them worst child of hell. They go to great extent, great trouble, but it's much more simple. So we don't need to be too busy to be able to fit this in to our lives. We must, however, pray for our neighbours so that we're ready as for these opportunities when we have an opportunity to speak to them. Now, some people have maybe got friends or family who have, their lives are in all sorts of situations, and they say, well, isn't our church a bit old-fashioned really, and young people, wouldn't they have a problem with this? But it's not so. We do have young people here from time to time, and the thing that happens when a person is helped and told about Jesus Christ, they're not put off by a serious form of worship. It's actually what they expect. They've been told about a God, an awesome God, who saves sinners, and that they can come to Him. So they expect something somewhat serious, rather than the poppy type of music sorts of churches. And if we tell people about Jesus Christ, Wagner Bury ought to be where we are. So they won't be put off by our old-fashioned, as they would call it, form of church. And we will concentrate on speaking about the main important points about Jesus Christ. Our main idea isn't to tell people about our form of worship, or our Bible version, or our Book of Common Prayer, or that we have bishops in our church, or whatever it is. It's about Jesus Christ. This is the main thing to be focusing on. And here we trust we're ready to give people serious help on the serious issues of life, so people won't be put off by something that seems to them different to what they used. Of course church is different to what people are used to. That's why they're not there. Fifthly, we think this is a very hard thing to do. And I think we'll give this fifth point as our last point for this morning. It's a slightly longer one, which we'll conclude on. This sounds like a very hard thing to do. You think, well, you know, how could I really tell anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ and really expect anything much to happen? Well, several points really. One that comes to mind just now again is that God's working, as we said before. Jesus Christ has prayed for us in our talking about Him. He promises to help us. He promises to be with us. He promises that as we go in His name, He'll never leave us. Nor forsake us, but He'll be with us always. He says, go. When He says in the end of the Gospels, go, He also says, lo, I'm with you. And there's a special blessing in all this. Of course, it's hard. There's a hardness because the hearts of the people to whom we speak about Jesus Christ are essentially hard. People naturally are going their own way in life. And if it's like you go and there's a diversion on the road. Someone says, this road's closed. You've got to go around all this way, a long way around to go to me if you're going to get there. And it's rather like that if we come up to someone and they're going through their life, very busy, probably full speed, and you say, stop, you're heading for ruin. Well, it's the most shocking thing you can say to someone. It doesn't, or it's going to frighten people away perhaps, but God has a way for certain people who He's called. He's got a plan that all of those that are the sheep of Jesus Christ will hear His voice. We're speaking, but they think, I'm hearing God actually. I'm not hearing the person. I'm hearing there's something else I'm hearing here. So what do we have to say? Why is it so hard? Well, if we're Christians ourselves, if we're people who know that we're sinners, and that we know that Jesus Christ is our Saviour, and all that He has done, and all that He is our righteousness counted to us, and it means that we just fall before Him, and we're accepted now and tomorrow and forever and ever, and he's coming for us one day, then, well, would you tell someone that? Simply as that, really. It's very simple, isn't it? We can put it very simply. You may not say everything. We can't say everything. We can't say, well, the whole Bible and understand it all and there it is in 2 seconds. You can't, no one can do that. But you can say something. And something simple, and you can relate it even to how I've just said things, simple things. What it is to be a Christian. And then put it to them that this is important. Because God is holy, God is the judge, God is righteous, but his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace to those that come through the blood of Christ is absolutely wonderful. So, when we're saying these things, we can only say them, the Bible says, you can only say things about Jesus Christ, good things and true things about him, when the Holy Spirit's working. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he then, from Pentecost, some days later, sent the Holy Spirit. And so every Christian has this great power of God. You say, well, I've got nothing. But a simple person without any great skill at all can tell someone about Jesus Christ and the person can believe, because God, the Holy Spirit, works in his way. In the Bible, it says the wind blows. You can't see where the Spirit's blowing. But when people are speaking about Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, is at work. And in simple ways. Sometimes very simple. I mean, it's not the whole story, but you might say as in John chapter 1, when the disciples, they found Jesus, the one told the other, and they just came and followed him. Without doing very much, they were following Jesus Christ in a very simple way. When I have been in speaking with people on occasions, someone said, well, what's that talking about Jesus Christ? That's good, I want to hear about that. And it can be very simple and very surprising often, with very much weakness, saying very little, and some people might get annoyed. Well, what can they do? What are we worried about? And God gives simple opportunities. You may be familiar with in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 53, for example. If you might not know much of the Old Testament, but if I mention to you Isaiah chapter 53, it might sound familiar. A lot of people know it quite well. Do you remember some of the phrases in there? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Then it says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Well, these are simple things, aren't they? Who was bruised for our iniquities? Who was wounded for our transgressions? With his stripes we're healed. Well, who is it? Isn't it Jesus Christ, isn't it? And such expressions in a chapter like that, Old Testament. Yeah, there was a man called Philip. He was one of the early disciples, and a man came up to him, a man from Ethiopia came up to him. And he asked him, explain to me this chapter. And so he could explain it to him. It was simple. And you know, we think things are difficult. We think things are hard. But often, they're a lot more simple than we think. And yes, people, as I said, have got hard hearts. They're blinded. They're, the Bible says, dead in their sins. But simple things about Jesus Christ, if they can be put plainly to people. I remember hearing, when I first became a Christian, just a few things from Ephesians chapter 2. This was actually from a sermon in a church. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. And it came home to me. The preacher was ordinary in some sense, but it came to me, saved. I hadn't heard this word before. This is what we're talking about in Christianity, people being saved by grace. I mean, it's the gift of God. It's nothing, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's by faith. You trust Jesus Christ to save you, and he saves you by his good gift. It's God's gift. I'd never heard it. It was wonderful. So simple. And I knew as a sinner, this was the only thing that could save me. And sure enough, it did. And so, we don't know where people are. Some people, they know a tremendous amount about religion. So if you could just tell them the smallest thing about how good Jesus Christ is, who would you trust? Would you trust him? Then you can. And so, simple things often, from simple people, you will be surprised. We just need to be able to pray for one another, that God will give us this utterance, to be able to speak things about Jesus Christ. We pray maybe for many things. You can pray for your ailments and all sorts, but pray for God to open doors for us, that when we speak, we're not only speaking to those who will be opposed, but some who will hear, some who will believe. And one thing, however much we may be afraid, as I said, it's rare that people would do anything to you if you just mention Jesus Christ. You think, well, they're going to go, something strange is going to happen. But it says in our chapter, we should not be ashamed of him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, I'm not ashamed, in the first chapter, when he wrote to the Romans. That's right. No, well, we must pray to God to help us. He says, Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, they don't all believe, but to those who do, it's the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, not to be ashamed of, because those who speak well of him and lead others to Jesus Christ do a marvellous work, a marvellous thing to save. It's not us that saves, we've emphasised that, it's when God is working in it in a special way, which we don't know how and when exactly that is that God works, but he calls us to be those that are not ashamed of him, that don't deny him before men, but who speak well of him. Blessing God, blessing his name, is partly speaking forth inside the church, as we do quite happily, but outside as well. Let's pray for God's forgiveness and for his help. Father in heaven, as we consider these things, we realize, Lord, that thou hast been very merciful to us sinners, to us who are weak and frail, that we ourselves, we would wonder how it was, Lord, that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did thou choose us? Why did thou have mercy upon us, but that thou wert most gracious toward us, and that we came somehow through the help of someone else to have a Bible, or to be at church, or someone to talk to us, or to teach us, maybe our parents or teachers, that we've heard about Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are truly sorry that we haven't spoken up and out and about him as we should have done. That many times we think, well, I wish I could say to someone, to this poor person who's in trouble, that we're trying to help them, yes, but what is really needed to get to the bottom of their troubles is that they need to know God, and they can do this through Jesus Christ, and I need to say something. Lord, forgive us for these many occasions, and teach us, Lord, what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and we, Lord, we pray especially that thou would send in our paths those who thou hast indeed predestinated to everlasting life, those whom thou hast chosen, so that when we speak, We won't just be speaking to people who are going to turn their noses up, but to those who, when they hear, they're going to say that they can hear God, not because they think we're God, but because they know that as we're speaking about God, God is speaking to them. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou dost do this, and that Thou hast promised to build Thy church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So Lord, we pray for those around us who are lost. We pray for both the elderly, those perhaps who live here, and those in between, maybe our children, those who work here, and also for the very young who are growing up and are being told basically lies that it doesn't matter what you believe. And while, Lord, we're thankful for the freedom to believe, we do pray, Lord, that people would use this freedom in turning to the true Saviour. We pray for our neighbours. We pray for those in this coming week who will be seeking to fast as if they could somehow get nearer to God by going without food all day and eating all night. But Lord, we pray for them that they may know that there's one who fasted 40 days and 40 nights and who didn't only conquer Satan in fasting but conquered him with his death on the cross and conquered death and conquered sin and conquered hell. And we pray, Lord, for all of our neighbours and friends and family. And we pray, Lord, Thou would give us not only opportunities, but would open our lips that we may proclaim and speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.